You may be seated.
All right. There we go. Yeah, you're good. You got it. Oh, I got to put this thing on too. Get all hooked up here. There we go. Let's see, announcements. We got going on. At the end of this month, so youth camp is going to do a virtual camp. So we signed up for that. So we'll play it on the big screen in the fellowship hall. They're going to do preaching every night and all that stuff. So we'll do that. It's at the end of June, beginning of July, that week. June like 28th through July 3rd, something like that. So we'll do that every evening. I think it starts at 7 and goes on till 8 or 8:30. And next month, we'll start Ladies Fellowship second Tuesday of the month, and we'll get back to that. So, anything else? Oh, yeah. Yeah, whoever, kids, big kids, little kids, all kids. Do what?
No.
It's virtual. We'll probably get some pizza or something and have it out here. Yeah, virtual camp. I don't know if we'll do games or what we can do there, but. Yeah. All right, Colossians chapter 2 is where we are at. We're going to talk about lost rewards, or the potential for lost rewards, anyway. That's what Paul's trying to warn the Colossians about. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians 2:18 says this: Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. All right, let's pray and talk about the potential for lost rewards and how not to lose rewards. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. Lord, I thank you for each soul that's here. I pray you'd bless each soul for being here. Pray that you'd help us understand these verses and just out of these things we're going to look at tonight, help us to serve you better and give us more direction. Help us cut out the things we need to cut out and implement things we should implement to just be able to do more for you, not for salvation or anything like that, but just because we are saved and I want to serve you with these lives that we have here in these bodies. And I pray you'd help us tonight, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. I'm going to stop there, and I'll give you three things about this, but the whole warning constitutes a warning about losing rewards and how not to do that. And just to define the terms here, a reward in the Bible is something someone worked for. It's like compensation. It is like wages. On the good side of it, it signifies like repayment, recompense, or compensation. On the bad side of it, if it's a return for wickedness, it signifies to punish with retribution or something like that. But rewards in the Bible always deal with compensation for either work that was poorly done or wickedly done or work that was well done. And it's different from eternal life is a free gift. Rewards are service. There's something that someone worked for. And let me just give you a few verses so we can settle that and understand that a little bit more. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 41. And I give you a couple of these verses to show you the defining way to define rewards in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and Deuteronomy 32, 41. It says, if I whet my glittering sword and mine hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will do what? Reward them that hate me. See that? So the reward is for wickedness and aimed towards the enemies of God. Here's another one. Let me give you another one. Look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 27. And I just want to show you where the word reward shows up and how it shows up in the Bible. And it's just like a payment for work that's been done. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew 16, 27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to what? His works. So people are going to get paid for what they did, whether it was good or bad, just like Paul says in Corinthians. And again, remember, this is not eternal life, this is rewards. Eternal life in the Bible is a free gift. This has to do with work that's been done. I'll give you a couple more. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians 3, 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. All right, 1 Corinthians 3, 8 says, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Right? I mean, that's like, supposed to be like, you know, that's real life. That's like you do here. I mean, you work and you get a paycheck for it. And if you don't work, then you get fired for it, you know, and you don't get a paycheck for it. Hopefully, generally, that's the way it's supposed to work anyway. May not always happen that way. I'll just read a couple more to you just to get the sense of it reinforced here. In 2 Timothy, Paul said it this way. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So the way he treated Paul in his ministry, tried to hurt his ministry and all that kind of stuff. And so Paul said, the Lord reward him, pay him back for what he's done. He's really hindered the ministry here. And then, of course, Revelation 22, the Bible says, behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So you get that. That's just a few verses, but I hope you get the sense of this, the idea. The reward is simply, it is payment, whether good or bad. It is just compensation for work that's been done well. The Lord rewards that. Compensation for wickedness, and that's what reward is. Good or bad, it's just compensation for the work that's been done. All right, that being said, go back over to Colossians and look in chapter 3, and the rewards from the Lord, if the rewards in the Bible come from, are based on work that's performed, the world has a system of rewards, the Lord has a system of rewards, the Lord talks about over in Peter, he talks about the Balaam the rewards of wickedness or the rewards of unrighteousness. And he was basically paid off to curse Israel. And he couldn't curse Israel, but he was paid off for casting a stumbling block before Israel. But look in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. It says that whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. All right, so rewards from Jesus Christ in the Bible, in reality, rewards from Jesus Christ have the most value. So if you were to, I hear guys talking about their business and things like that. If you were to just make a business proposition, the most valuable investment you could make is an investment in serving the Lord. That's the most valuable investment you could ever make. Because those rewards are eternal rewards. Those rewards don't go away. They're not corruptible. And the most vain sort of investment a person could make would be sort of just taking their whole life and spending all of their time and energy to just get on the hamster wheel of the world and just keep trying to make ends meet and trying to go and invest until you die, and then you have nothing to show for it in the end, in eternity, and there's nothing you've done for the Lord Jesus Christ. So you understand those two things. I know you understand those two things. But just to understand, rewards from Jesus Christ obviously have the most value. The first time the word reward shows up in the Bible, I'll just give it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 15 when the Lord speaks to Abraham. And he says this. He says, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Let me show you a verse in Hebrews. Go over to Hebrews. And I'm going to give you a little bit more on these rewards that come from Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. Here's Moses' estimation of the rewards that God gives. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24 says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." You see that recompense? That's just compensation. So I don't mean to be crude about it or bring it down to too shallow of a level, but when Moses looked at all of Egypt had to offer, all of the things that he could enjoy in Egypt, he said, "Do you know what? That doesn't have as much value as investing in the things of God." And so he made a choice. And said, when he came to age, he just made a choice. He said, "I am going to choose to suffer affliction with the people of God and choose the reproach of Christ." Even though he doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, he knows there's a prophet coming that's after him. He knows that some of these things that God showed him. And he makes this choice that investing in the things of God have more value than investing in the things of the world. And I mean, just, again, not to be too shallow about it, but if you want to just make it a business decision, he just said, "This over here, this investment in God, is much more valuable than this investment in Egypt." So that's what he said. So the Bible says, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why did he do that? For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Meaning he just looked at the value of the thing and he said, "You know, if I invest in the work of God, there's much more value in that than there is in trying to participate in this Egyptian system." And that was the choice he made. And so he considered the reward and he said, I'm going to go this way. And the Lord said, "Okay, I can use that." Look in 1 Peter. I'll give you another one here. Well, I'll tell you what. Before you go to 1 Peter, you're in Hebrews 11. Let me show you something about faith. Look in verse 6. Go back to verse 6 there. When it comes to rewards, Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So that's part of faith. You have to believe that God's rewards, or God is a rewarder of someone who will hunger and thirst after righteousness, who will diligently search out God. And so there's some examples here. Or you got Moses as an example, and you got the definition there. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's part of faith, is believing that God Almighty will recompense and will compensate the work that you do for him. That's part of believing in the Lord. All right, here's another one. Look in 1 Peter about these rewards. Here's some characterizations of these rewards. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." All right, so verse 4 describes this reward. He says it's an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, okay? So this system, this economics of heaven is the most valuable thing that exists. It's something that if you were to apply yourself to the work of God, you would reap everlasting benefits, eternal things that are never incorruptible, and there's no sorrow with these benefits. I mean, you think about it with the world. You know, some of the rewards in the world come with sorrow sometimes. It just, you know, I think of people who may strike it big in the lottery, or they make a lot of money in sports or something. And then you find out, you know, you got more cousins than you realized you had. And then you just, I mean, it's just like, I mean, that's just a small part of it. There's more taxes to pay. You got to hire a guy to figure out your finances. And it's just that there's all this other stuff that comes with it, as opposed to an eternal inheritance where there's no baggage that comes with it. So just on a purely business decision, investing in the things of God and in Jesus Christ's work is the most valuable investment anybody could make. Now, what Paul says in Colossians is this: beware lest any man beguile you of that reward. Says this stuff that you can be a part of can be taken away. Not eternal life, not justification and forgiveness of sins. Those things, that stuff is a free gift. But some of this inheritance, some of these things that come with serving God, where God rewards a man or a woman for serving him, Paul says, beware, because there is a lot out there in this world that is vying for your attention. There's a lot out there that is trying to make itself something that it's not, or get you into a system that does not pay out like God Almighty pays out. So go back over to Colossians, and I'll show you this. I wish we had time to just do a whole service on just the rewards part of this, but so you can see what they actually are, but hopefully you get the idea, and we'll deal with the warning here. Maybe later we'll get to the rewards in another service. All right, so back over in Colossians, with that all said about the rewards, here's what Paul says, 2:18. Let no man beguile you of your reward. All right, so that your reward can be taken away. And it's I don't know how all that works. I think of it like there's a reward in heaven. Jesus Christ says, I go to prepare a place, all that kind of stuff. There's also inheritance on the earth. He tells the apostles, he says, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And you're going to have this land all before you. And I imagine it's like that for every nation and people. The meek shall inherit the earth. And so there will be land distributed however Jesus Christ wants to distribute it to those who have been faithful. And then, I mean, I guess if there's just no faithfulness, just you're just going to be driving the tractor on somebody's land. I don't know what your job will be. But apparently you can lose the rewards. You can lose these rewards. Well, how are you going to lose it? In Colossians 2:18, he tells you how. Here's one way. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshy mind. Now Paul deals with religion. He had dealt with philosophy before, earlier in Colossians. He dealt with philosophy and kind of a simple life thing and the meaning of life and all that kind of stuff. And all these ideas that sort of set themselves up above Jesus Christ and say, no, Jesus Christ isn't the ideal. Here's the ideal. You want this kind of life and add value to your life and all this kind of stuff. Now, that was all sort of secular, I guess, or just a philosophical way of thinking of putting things above Jesus Christ. Now he's going to deal with religious things that get put above Jesus Christ, like angels, like Mary, like you may already know this, but a lot of the biggest religions in the world were started by people who claimed to have seen angels. Muhammad said he saw Gabriel. Gabriel had 600 wings, he said, and gave him all this information. And he wrote the Quran, or somebody wrote it for him or whatever. But anyhow, the point was in all that, this angel gave him all this information, supposedly. Joseph Smith, this angel gave him all this information, and out came the Book of Mormon and the doctrines and all that stuff. But the point is, all of these entities or these beings, these angels, supposedly stepped in and gave these men information that Jesus Christ hadn't given anybody before. And what Paul says is, no, that didn't happen. That these people haven't seen anything. If you're going to see an angel, God will show you an angel. But these folks may believe they saw it, and that's a whole other track we could run. But people, when you get into these religious things, the religious circles and these religious ideas, there is a great propensity or desire to make a show, to be something you're not, to have seen something no one else has seen, to know information no one else knows, to be able to do things no one else can do. And so just like the Pharisees, would all of their religion was for a performance so other people could see it. And I'll show you that. We'll go through some verses about that in a minute. But Paul says it this way. These guys, they talk about angels. They talk about voluntary humility, subjecting yourselves to things that aren't really commandments of God. And ultimately, in verse 22, he gets right down to it. They're the doctrines of men is what they are. And people, these folks that see angels, they probably really believe they saw something. The Lord says, no, you didn't. If you're going to see an angel, God's going to have to show you an angel for some specific reason. And sometimes angels apparently show up and people don't know that they are. I don't know how that works, but If you're going to see an angel, God's going to have to show it to you. People don't just have dreams or see angels and just willy-nilly do that and then go on Oprah and talk about their angel sightings or whatever. That's not how it works in reality. And so, but they'll say stuff like that, and the reason someone says something like that is to say, hey, so this angel gave me some information, and I need to give it to you. And so, you know, this what was told me, you know, and you got to be real solemn about it and just hang on. Yeah. So, okay. So what was told me to tell you is, and you know how it's just a show. You haven't seen anything. It's just a game. This thing is just a performance. People are actors. And if they're not actors, they may really believe, like he says, vainly puffed up by their fleshy mind, really believe, oh, I really saw that. Okay, I mean, you can convince yourself you really saw that, but you didn't see that. You didn't see what you think you saw. So they'll bring in these things that have revelation that nobody else has, to bring in these doctrines that nobody else has, bring in this new light that no one else knows. And Paul says, all that stuff is garbage. It's just nonsense. If you didn't get it from Jesus Christ, put it this way, if this piece of information or this messenger puts himself above Jesus Christ, You can be sure this messenger is a lie. It has nothing to do with the truth. Why? Because he says in verse 19, not holding the head. Who's the head? That's Jesus Christ. He's the top. All right, so let me give you a few things about this doctrines of men, because this is how folks have their rewards stolen, and they end up in either a philosophy, which we dealt with earlier in chapter 2, or they end up in a religious something where they're performing all of these things for this performance, and none of it has to do with serving God. It never has to do with serving God. Watch. Let me give you a few verses in Matthew. This is it just really spells it out, I think. Look over in Matthew chapter 5. So Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, all that stuff. It's I want you to notice in Matthew 5 through 7 how many times the word reward shows up. And how it shows up. Matthew 5, verse 12. We'll start there. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Well, that's exactly what Peter said. That's what Paul said in Colossians. Great is your reward in heaven. Why does he say that? Well, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So the reward wasn't here. People died for trusting the Lord, for serving the Lord. The prophets were killed. And so if they were looking for the reward right now, they'd kind of be disappointed in it probably. So the Lord says, rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. That's part of your patience, that's part of hope. Let me show it to you again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 46. He says this about reward. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? So what's so special about loving people that love you? That's nothing particularly special about it. Everyone does it, apparently. Look at another one. Look in Romans, Matthew 6:1 says, now here's where you get to the religious acting part of this. Matthew 6:1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. All right, why would you not have a reward of your Father which is in heaven if you were doing things to please men? Because you have your reward with the men. You're not looking to God to be a rewarder. You're looking to the men to reward you. So that's what he'll say. Look in verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Sound a trumpet before thee. I've heard so many like weird interpretations of this. You know, they say, well, when the Pharisees would give their money, they would have someone blowing a trumpet in front of them. You know what this is, and you have a phrase for it. It's called tooting your own horn. It's, hey, did you see what I did? Did you see how much I get? Did you see that? So he says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee. Don't toot your own horn. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. There you go. Verily I say unto you, what? They have their reward. Where is their reward? It's with whoever they're trying to impress. So if this is the part of this religious thing, this religious reward system. So these priests and these Pharisees, they would do things just so that men would approve of what they're doing. And the Lord says, all right, if you're trying to impress these men and you're trying to get your reward from these men, okay. Then you have your reward. Whatever the men decide that you're trying to impress, decide to do for you, that's what your reward is. But don't look at me because I'm not going to give you a reward because you didn't do this for me. Let's keep going. Look in verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. See how many times this reward shows up? The whole thing is just, it's either a religion to do a performance so that men will reward you, or you're actually serving God so that God will reward you. That's the two options. Here's another one. Verse 5, keep going. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be, what? Seen of men. So they're not praying to God, they're just praying so that people watch them. Verily I say unto you, what? They have their reward. Whatever you're looking for from these men, whatever they decide to give you, that's what you'll have. Verse 6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There you go. So that wasn't done as a performance. That prayer wasn't a performance. Those alms that were given weren't a performance. They were done for God, and God saw that because the person that gave that, the person that prayed that prayer, looked to God and believed God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so that's what they were looking for. On the other hand, if you're just looking for men's approval, then God says, okay, whatever men decide to give you, then that'll be your reward. That's what you get out of it. I look in verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces like Ash Wednesday. They disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. You see that? That they may appear unto men to fast. Not that they actually fast, they just want to make sure you know that they look like they're fasting. It's not that they're actually trying to get anything from God. They just want you to know that they're a part of this system. I just want you to know that. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. There you go. Prayer, alms, fasting, all of these folks, Jesus says, look, you do this in secret because you're actually trusting God to reward you.
But if you're doing this publicly so that people see you, you're not trusting God to reward you. You're just doing this as a show. That's just religion. That's just what Paul says. Beware lest these people pull you under their spell and pull you into their religion that is just a show of reward. They're just looking for rewards for men. And what's going to happen is you're going to end up seeking out rewards from men and seeking men's approval, and you might get it and you might not, but ultimately you're not going to get anything from God out of it. Here's, all right, so after he says all this, the alms, the prayer, the fasting, now watch what he says in 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There you go. So after all that, you know, that brings us back to square one, their whole rewards thing. It's compensation for work done, and Jesus Christ just finished saying, Quit seeking a reward from men and seek a reward from God. And then after he says, dealing with alms, dealing with prayer, dealing with fasting, he says, look, lay up your treasure in heaven. Don't lay it up down here. Whatever men decide to give you down here, you can be sure it'll be gone. You can be sure it won't last. Religion and putting on a show, that they have always gone hand in hand. The religious show, they put on these coats, they put on this garments and things like that. It's just a big hoopla to let you know who's the spiritual one, to let you know who's the one that has power with God. So they walk around in their robes and their big hats, and people bow down, and oh yeah, this guy's got it. This guy's got it. And you know, it's a display, it's a presentation. And the Lord says, look, they have their reward with men. Whatever men decide to give them, they got that. But I'm not going to give them anything because I haven't done anything. There's no labor in my field. There's nothing to compensate them for. All right, so go back to Colossians, and we'll finish this up. Well, not this part of it, we'll finish it up. So these are some rewards that get lost in religion. Just like Paul said, be careful, because religion is a very seductive way of putting on a performance so that men approve of what you're doing and God has nothing to do with it. Be careful, it's not just a performance here. I think about this happens when, as a pastor, people come in sometimes, and they give you their resume of all the spiritual things they've done. You know, and I remember one fellow came in, and it hadn't been too long ago, and came in and just talking about teaching and how he was this over at his other church and how he did this and how he did this, and you know, he's very well versed in the Bible and all this stuff. And generally the first thing I think when I hear that is, if you have to tell me you're smart, that, you know, if you have to profess your own wisdom, that probably means there's not much there. And I just, that whole performance and show, just be faithful. Serve the Lord, and the Lord will promote you how he wants to promote you through whatever he wants to promote you through. He'll guide you in the gifts he's given you and all that kind of stuff. You don't have to tout how spiritual you are. It's like a performance. So here's what he says. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Here's the problem. And not holding the head. So they forgot Jesus Christ in this. Or this is a saved person who's forgot Jesus Christ in this. not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together increases with the increase of God. So everything comes from Jesus Christ. The whole thing comes from Jesus Christ. And when you remove Jesus Christ out of this, there's nothing to be to of value left. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. So if you take out the parentheses, it just reads like this. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living after in the world, are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? It's just like the Pharisees' system. They had all these rules and laws, and the purpose was to promote their own holiness or righteousness or whatever, and it was to make a show before men. So Paul says, look, if you're dead in Christ, all of these things you do with your members, the touch not, taste not, eat not, handle not, all that kind of stuff, that's not going to make you more spiritual. It doesn't make you more anything. Now you take your members and yield them to Jesus Christ and serve Jesus Christ with them, but these ordinances and these things that men command you to do in their religions, those things aren't going to make you any better, and they're not going to give you any kind of reward. So he says this, well, notice the contrast, just this last thing. Verse 20, he says, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ. See that? Look in chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, so he's going to give you the positive side of it. If you're dead with Christ, then all of these ordinances, just like the Pharisees had, they're just a performance of things that don't make any difference and end up stealing a reward that you could actually have for serving God. So if you be dead in Christ or dead with Christ, here you go. Then the money doesn't have a hold on you. The whatever else, fornication, all that kind of stuff, which he'll say in chapter 3, verse 5. But in chapter 2, verse 20, wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth. Why? That's where the reward is. Seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Verse 2, not on things on the earth. That's what he said. That's what he said in Matthew 5. Same thing. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And I'll go on to describe all that. So he's got on one hand, you're dead in Christ. Okay. So these things don't make any difference anymore. Or these things don't have, I don't want to say don't make any difference anymore. These things are not things worthy of a reward. Now if you subject your members, yield your members to the Holy Spirit of God and serve God with your members, there's a reward in that. But if you just do these things as a religion, as a show, as discipline for discipline's sake, there's no reward in that. I mean, at least nothing that's going to last. There may be a temporary thing. I mean, if a guy will put his body through, or a woman or whoever, say a guy will put his body through, I don't know, just immense discipline and suffering for the purpose of making a lot of money as an athlete. Well, that's his reward. Whatever happens with that reward, happens with that reward. But that will be what his reward is. And once he dies, that doesn't contribute to his soul. That doesn't contribute in any way to eternity. That doesn't contribute in any way to that. So just discipline for discipline's sake, it doesn't make any difference. Discipline even for a stake in this world doesn't even make any difference. In eternity, it doesn't make any difference. That's kind of what Paul's trying to get folks out of the... I know that's like an athletic illustration. Paul's dealing with religion here, really. But point is this. Go over to... You're in chapter 3. Look in verse 17. Let's move forward and wrap it up. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. And then he's just going to give you just a shotgun blast of instructions. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men-pleasers. There you go. There's that men-pleaser thing again. Just like the Pharisees. As men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And here it is, wrap it all up. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. There you go. So all of that stuff, if you want to put it all together, he says, look, whatever you do, whatever you choose to do, do it all as unto the Lord, for he is the one that has the reward, and that's the one you're looking to for the reward. So just do whatever you find to do, whatever you can do for the Lord, whether it's a family, whether it's being a dad, whether it's being a mom, whether it's being an employee, whether it's being a child, whatever it is you're doing, just do it unto the Lord, and the Lord will reward you for it. That's the point of all. That's the whole thing. He's the rewarder, just like Hebrews says. He that cometh to the Lord, he must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Paul says, whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And we'll get to that, I don't know, in a couple weeks or so, but you get the idea. The point was the warning, don't let any man beguile you of your reward, because the rewards are compensation for work done, and there is a lot of stuff out there that will tie up your time and energy and just be a complete waste of time at the end of the day. Lots of stuff. Religious stuff, philosophical stuff, simple life, meaningful life, whatever it is. Anything that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus Christ, it just tie up your time and energy, and it won't amount to anything at the end of the day. There may be some pleasure in it in this life, but ultimately, you will regret having wasted your time in that stuff. So, there you go. There's some potential for lost rewards. You don't have to lose them. Paul's just trying to warn them. Don't lose these rewards. These things are... God's a good boss, and he pays well. And if you serve him, he'll pay you well for serving him. So, let's pray. We'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful. It's just a lot of stuff. But I pray it's been helpful to understand these rewards and serving you versus a show of serving you or just some sort of pretense. And that's in all of us to do things to make a display before people's eyes and make sure they see us doing something. But I pray you'd help us serve you in the way you want us to serve you. And just like you said here, whether it's in a family setting, whether it's in a job setting, whether it's in whatever setting it is, a religious setting, whatever setting it is, that we'd serve Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know you're a good rewarder. And we know you're faithful, and your rewards are eternal. Thank you for putting these words in your book, helping us read them and understand them. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.